Friday. It's Bowerly. I thought that might go a little bit better, but that was like a swing and a miss. But at least I didn't get hit with a fastball and then come back and fire a home run, a two-run home run into the stands. Tanner Saunders is the man behind the glass making the magic happen. And I just want you guys to know that coming up on the program, actually the entire day, David Bellavia will be doing it. I'll be doing it. Buffalo's a New Morning with Brent Mazurowski and Susan Rose. They'll be doing it. B-Maz and Beamer. It's going to be December the 13th. That is a Wednesday, December 13th. We will do the Radiothon to benefit the SPCA serving Erie County. And I want to make it real clear, this is not the SPCA that pays its CEO $1 million a year. Okay, this is the local organization, and not only do they need financial help, not only are they great stewards of the money they receive as donations, but you know, they also need foster homes, especially for cats, and they need people to come in and adopt little furry friends and give them a forever home. And my theory on cats is, if you're going to get a cat, get two cats. It's no more work, and yet it's twice the fun, I personally think. But anyway, that's just me. Let's see. He likes cats. What can we deduce from that? Yeah, actually, absolutely nothing. I just happen to like cats. Didn't used to like them, but I mean, I would never be cruel to one, but they are fine animals. I'll say that much. All right. Hey, you know that a man loves his cat when a man is willing to sleep downstairs on his couch for years because his kitty could not make it upstairs but would hop up on the couch and rest her little head on the crook of my elbow, and we would sleep all night that way. And hey, the best part about Glenna, the black cat, my little pocket panther, I've never had a cat so obviously tell me that she was ready to, take that final trip to the veterinarian. I have told you the story before, and it just amazes me to this day that she vanished into my office for an entire weekend. And I called our friend, Dr. Helen Sweeney, who's local veterinarian, Elma Animal Hospital. She's been on this program, does a great job. We'll get her back on soon, I'm quite sure. But made the arrangements to send Glenna across the Rainbow Bridge. And I'll be darned, the Monday morning of the appointment, Glenna suddenly appeared from my office, sat on the couch, and basically looked at me as if to say, "Tom, Daddy, put me into the little cat carrier because I know it's time for me to fly." And as difficult as it is, and you've been there too with your dog, your cat, your bird, whatever happens to be your pet, one of the biggest frustrations and causes of angst with the pet owner is, well, my cat owned me, so that might not be the way to put it, but one of the biggest sources of concern is you never know really when it's time, and you wish your animal would communicate to you and basically say, "I'm ready, can we please go?" And Glenna Cat did exactly that. I mean, she literally told me, "Take me to the," well, she didn't do it in words, but she did it via actions. "Take me, I'm ready to go." And in many ways, because of that, despite my deep love for that cat, it was the easiest one I've had to do. And usually, if I have to euthanize an animal, I'm pretty much a basket case for about a week. But in that case, I really wasn't, because I knew that Glenna knew she wanted to go. and it was a feeling of peace and relief and tranquility. And we'll get Dr. Helen Sweeney on again in the not-too-distant future, I'm sure, to answer your animal questions. And Helen is the widow of my dear friend, Detective Kevin Sweeney of the Town of Tonawanda Police Department. And I'm so glad that I had a chance to see Kevin a couple of days before he died peacefully in his home. And you know, he obviously knew as a human being, and he was communicative. He knew that he didn't have very long, and for reasons I'll never understand, he wanted to see me before he left, and it was a beautiful thing. It really was, and it was nice to be able to offer some comfort and solace to a dying friend. I will tell you, he met his end. And this sounds very sexist, and maybe it is, and I apologize if it is, but he died like a man. There was no whimpering. There was no crying. He died like a man, Kevin Sweeney. And we'll get his widow, Helen, on in the not-too-distant future on the show. Also, speaking of people I want to get on the show, I'm thinking about doing it on Wednesday, if it's okay with you. My ex-wife, the astrologer Cassandra Joan Butler, I think we're going to get her in studio as long as her schedule allows. Those of you in Canada, that would be schedule allows do another program. She is basically our most popular guest. In fact, I'm kind of worried that my ex-wife might put me out of a job if I get her on the radio too much. But we'll get her on the show on Wednesday. No matter what I say today, I'm just running into trouble right, left, and center. We'll get her on between 2 and 4 on Wednesday, unless there is something major going on and we have to interrupt the show and do other things. For example, the day of the incident, at the Peace Bridge, David and I were going to do a special on the 60th anniversary of the assassination of JFK. And as it turned out, I spent a couple of hours with David at the end of his show. He was going to join me on my show. Well, he did join me on my show, but we were in breaking news coverage mode as opposed to JFK assassination mode, a show that we both really had been looking forward to. You have no idea how many texts went between David and myself leading up to November 22nd of 2023. But hey, at some point we'll get her done, and we will enjoy talking about it. And hey, don't kid yourself, David knows as much, if not more, about the assassination than I do. And we spent a lot of time talking off the air, talking about the assassination of JFK and its ramifications and all that stuff. But hey, long story short, as long as there's nothing major happening on Wednesday, I expect to get Cassandra Joan Butler, yes, my ex-wife, in studio to do her astrology thing. Now, I'm not a believer in astrology, but many of you are, and that's fine. You can believe in whatever it is you wish to believe, but I know that she's very good at what she does. She's got a tremendous international following. She's huge in Australia, which I don't quite frankly understand, but you can expect that Wednesday 2 until 4 on WBEN. I hope you'll be tuned in. And honestly, too, it's so nice to get her in studio, because when we went through our divorce, as you know if you listen to this show enough, it was a contentious and angry divorce. And the fact that we emerged from that kind of hell and actually are very dear friends to one another, it says something about our character. Like, we're both nuts. Hey, you know what I want to do right now? It's something that, you know, I didn't bring this up in my pre-show consultation with Tim Wenger, but I want to bring it to you now, and I want to spend a little bit of time with you on this, because it dawned on me when I was going into my monologue, or would that be monologues, about the John Waite concert that, you know, I cannot be alone. I cannot be the only person. So let me phrase the question to you this way. Now, as you know, if you're a regular listener to the show, there are some bands that I really, really like. And I'm talking about national acts, okay? For example, the Bee Gees. Well, there's only one bee living today, so unfortunately that's not going to happen. But Steely Dan, for example. Even without Walter Becker, Donald Fagen was the voice for the most part of Steely Dan, for the Steely Dan songs. There's just some acts that I will always see. And I will never, until my dying day, I will never forget what I said to the person I was with when we were in New York City and we had tickets to the Friday night Steely Dan show. I said, you know, honey, as long as we're in New York City, why don't we get tickets for tonight's show as well? Because you never know when you're going to have a chance to see Steely Dan again. And little did either of us realize at that point that Walter Becker, who was Donald Fagen's partner for many years in the musical business, we didn't know that he was fighting off a serious cancer situation. And you know, I'm so glad that we went to the second show. It was worth the money, and frankly, it was not cheap. And the weirdest thing about that show, and look, I'm not trying to come off like Mr. Big Shot or anything like that. That's just not my style. If you know me in person, you know that's the truth. Before the show, I literally asked people around us, hey, I will pay you X number of dollars if we can have your seats for this show. And nobody bit. And I was offering a substantial amount of money for good seats because we hadn't planned on going on Saturday night. And believe it or not, nobody accepted cold hard cash. And one of the couples that rejected my very generous offer out of hand, they stayed for maybe a couple of songs and then they left. So we just moved right into their seat, and the guitar player, John Harrington, actually came over and gave me a guitar pick that he just used playing the Steely Dan song Peg. And it's just one of those things I will never, ever forget. But here's the bottom line. There are some bands and concerts that you know you need to be there and you want to experience. And then there are other shows that catch you off guard. Now, time will not allow me to finish the monologue at this point, but hopefully, because you're smart, you know where I'm going to go in the next half hour. Concerts that you were not expecting to blow you away, but did blow you away. Okay, I want to try that. I don't think I've ever done that as a topic before. On WBEN, after the news at 4:30. All right, it is 4:27 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Thank you for your get well wishes for Mrs. Bowerly. I believe it's just a cold that probably changed into some kind of a bacterial lung infection, but she'll be fine. And if not, the insurance policy is pretty awesome. So, you know, either way it goes, I'm fine. She'll appreciate that, believe me. Tomorrow I may be doing the show soprano style, as in, John, wait. Just let it build up here a little. Gotta set the tone.
Every time I think of you, I always catch my breath. And I'm still standing here, and you're miles away. And I'm wondering why you left.
Why am I playing so much of this?
Because
I'm doing my Joe Beamer imitation. Except this isn't the Backstreet Boys. I love Joe Beamer. We just have different tastes in music, that's all. So, all right, I needed to do that because I want to bring out a topic that I actually had not even thought of doing today. But after the first hour's monologue, which might have seemed like 8 hours, but after the first hour's monologue, I had an idea. And it's like one of these hold my beer, I have an idea moments. But I'm going to give it a try. And again, I ain't never done this topic before. And I try really hard not to speak poorly grammatically, but sometimes I can't help it. So for those of you just joining the program, wow, are you lucky. But for those of you who are just joining the program, had a wonderful weekend. A bunch of friends and I went out to see my boys in a local band called Back to the Barstools, which is, it's what we do the first Friday of every month. You know, I'm sure you've heard of Jay Desiderio and Bobby Jay's on Como Park. All right. Now, look, full disclosure, Jay bought me a drink on Friday night. He did buy me a drink. But if you knew how much money we spend at Bobby Jay's, I don't think that you'd be upset at all. And I believe in full transparency and honesty with you, because that's the only way to be. So, yes, Jay bought me a drink on Friday night. But that has nothing to do with why I talk. I mean, I can't be bought for the price of a drink. Come on. Rolls Royce, Bentley, we could be open to that, but not for a drink. So I had this idea. So we're seeing Back to the Bars. And I love these guys, all right? Jeff Cook, Dave Lamandola, Mike McGuire, Mark Chimes, Casey Moyer. I mean, they're a big part of my life. Can't lie about that. And what they've done the past three gigs or so, we've seen them, is they've done a medley of the Babies, a group from the 1980s. Now, can you and I just be honest here for a moment? Good. Going to allow that? Good. All right. Well, it was New Year's Eve. I was drunk. No, it's a different kind of story. I had heard peripherally about this band in the 80s called The Babies. But I would be lying grievously to you if I told you, well, I'm very much up on the music of The Babies and I listen to it all the time. But what I did not know is that Mrs. Bowerly, she really, really loved The Babies and still does. And when my boys in Back to the Barstools, when they started bringing out their medley of The Babies, I noticed something about Mrs. Bowerly. And that is, she was really into The Babies. And I think it was she who said, you know, Tom, John Waite, who did that song you like, Missing You, he was in The Babies. And I said, come on, now you're just having fun with me. Now you're just insulting my elderly ignorance. Turns out she was right. As much as I hate to admit it, she was right. So, long story short, advancing the clock, the local fellas, the local guys that I like, Back to the Barstools, they brought this Babies medley into their set list. And then, turns out, do a little bit of research online, I had seen that John Waite was coming to the Riviera on Saturday night. And I said to myself, how do you impress your new wife? You listen to her and you act upon what she says. So what do? I make arrangements to buy, understand, buy. I could do the comp thing, but I don't do the comp thing. It's not right. And if I did do the comp thing, I would tell you I'm doing the comp thing, but I didn't. So I got two tickets to see John Waite because she likes John Waite. Well, I mean, I've got to have some competition somewhere. And in this case, it was John Waite. So she was pretty happy when I told her, honey, You're never going to believe what I did today. I got tickets to see John Waite, and she was thrilled. She was super happy. I mean, granted, she probably would have preferred seeing him in Negril, Jamaica, but that's another story. So I get these tickets to see John Waite. And here's the where we get into the topic part, where you guys call in. Because it is a call-in show. Should point that out. I mentioned that I really didn't know an awful lot about the group The Babies. And frankly, I had only heard John Waite doing Missing You, because it really is one of my favorite songs of that era. And I was not expecting, and this is where I want you to think, I was not expecting to go to the show and have such an amazing time. Because usually, if I go to a concert, it's a band where I know at least 80% of the songs. Like Jeff Lynne's Electric Light Orchestra, when Renee Zeno took me to the show in Pittsburgh on the 1st of August of 2019. Yes, the pre-pandemic days. And somehow she got front row seats for Jeff Lynne, which I couldn't believe. And she actually took me, which was, I thought, awfully swell. But Jeff Lynne, ELO, I know that stuff. And I can actually play some of this stuff, too. But every song he did, I knew. Well, at least 98% of the songs he did, I knew. It's a different story with John Waite and The Babies. I knew Missing You. Who doesn't know that song? It's a staple of music of that era. But I wasn't expecting too much walking into the Riviera. Now, I happen to, as I mentioned earlier, if you weren't listening to the program, I happen to really like the Riviera Theater because it was built in the same era as Shea's Buffalo. And it's a little bit more of a modest scale. But the venue itself is beautiful. And what they have done at the Riv, I think, quite frankly, is extraordinary. It is a jewel in North Tonawanda. Anybody want to argue with me on that? And I happen to like it as a venue. Even if some of you don't, can't imagine why you wouldn't, I happen to like the Riviera. So, all right, here's the deal. And this is where, again, I want your feedback. I want your input. I want to get you into the loop here. I want you to get the memo properly. So we walk into the show, and we take our seats in row F. Interestingly. Row F, right in the middle of the row. And the opening act comes out, and I thought he was super good, and I kept expecting him to break a string on his guitar because he hammers away at that guitar. He's not a gentle strummer, I'll say that much, but that's okay. Everybody's got their own way they play. Lindsey Buckingham of Fleetwood Mac, he's got a way he plays. Hendrix had a way he plays, and John Waite has a way he plays, and so did the opening act. So I left that concert with John Waite and his backup band of a guitar player, a bass player, and a drummer. I left that show with a whole new appreciation, hitherto unknown, of John Waite. Not the least of which is the fact that he's 71 years old, which used to seem old to me, and it no longer does, which is disturbing in some respects. All I've been thinking about since that show is what an amazing talent. There were two ladies who basically walked out with us to the parking lot. You know, you walk through the archway of North Tonawanda into the parking lot where people tend to park for the Riv. And all I kept saying over and over again was, what an amazingly talented human being. I feel as though I've just been in the presence of greatness. And usually I say that after I meet with Tim Wenger. But Saturday, sorry, Tim. But Saturday night, I just could not get John Waite off of my mind. I haven't gotten John Waite off of my mind since the end of the show because he was so amazingly awesome. And he basically won a new fan by doing a live performance. Now, hold that thought for just a moment, if you will, because I want to bring you into the conversation. Because it is two-way talk in a one newspaper town. So don't go anywhere. I think you know where it's going, but let's just cross the T's and dot the I's. 803-0930 is the phone number. *930 on the cell phone. And 1-800-616-WBEN. Okay, so I hope you will forgive the somewhat lengthier than I had anticipated preamble to the topic. But let me let it rip. And I'm going to see where it goes, and hopefully you guys are going to flock to the phones and say, oh my goodness, Tom, the same thing happened to me when we saw blank. So whether you are a man or a woman or whatever, maybe you don't know what you are, you identify differently, doesn't matter to me one way or the other how you live your life. I just want you to be happy. But my question to you is, have you ever gone to a show and you did it maybe not so much for yourself? You did it because you wanted to make somebody else happy. You did it because you knew that the person with whom you are in love is a big fan. So you go because that's what you do when you are in a relationship, whether it's a relationship or a marriage, whatever the case may be. How many of you basically became fans of a performer you weren't even expecting to enjoy? Because there's a reason I'm asking this. There's a reason she mocks me when I try not to sound like a Buffalo guy. She asked me. she's a big fan of John Waite and the Babies. And she said to me, well, Tom, did you like the show? And I looked at her, this before we kind of got up and started mingling with folks. I looked at her and I said, I have to be really honest with you, babes. I loved that show. John Waite blew me away. It was that good. So have you... because the show isn't about me. I'm using this experience as a setup to your phone calls, okay? How many of you listening to my voice right now went to a show not expecting much? Like, all right, I'll sit there for a couple of hours because I want to make somebody else happy. And it turns out that you made yourself very happy. And I made myself exhilarated by seeing John Waite perform in concert. He blew me away. And I was I'm a tough person to blow away, but he did. How many of you have been to a show and just based on the concert, you became a fan of that performer? And you say to yourself, I didn't realize the dude or the lady was that incredibly, remarkably talented. I can't be the only one. 803, and it's not just about John Waite, it's about any band whatsoever. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And let me just say this, you know a performer is great when the guys from Back to the Bars, Back to the Bar Stools, when you see two of them there and they're shaking their heads in ecstasy. And these guys are great local musicians in their own right. Here's Art in Williamsville. Art, welcome to the show. You are on WBEN. Go right ahead.
Hey, Tom. Yeah, I had a similar experience. I took my now wife to Art Park to see the Bare Naked Ladies, and I was never a fan growing up. And they blew me away, and now I listen to them all the time. And I took her for the same reason you took your wife. I wanted to impress her. She said she loved them. She'd seen them many times, and Art Park is like the Riviera. It's a great venue, and they just blew me away. They made me dance. They made me sing. I did know a couple songs, obviously. There's a couple songs everybody knows. And I just was blown away. And I'm a big Babies fan. I had a lot of their albums when I was growing up. And Head First is just a phenomenal album. It's every song is awesome. And I think I don't know the guitar's player's name way back then, but he was just a great guitarist. I have always loved the Babies. But Bare Naked Ladies just really, really just blew me away, and I just love them. I listen to them, like I said, all the time.
You know what? This is exactly the kind of call for which I'm hoping to take more of during the 5 o'clock hour. And I'm going to tell you something. Like your now wife, I love the Bare Naked Ladies. And you know what turned me on to the Bare Naked Ladies? I can tell you exactly the time. I was sitting at TGI Fridays at Main and Transit, and they were playing one of the hits, and I didn't know who it was. And I asked, what's her name? Wendy, the bartender. I said, I don't want to seem stupid, but what's the name of this band? And she said, the Bare Naked Ladies. And I giggled, of course. And I, too, became a fan of the Bare Naked Ladies. They simply were amazing. I can understand why they would blow you away in concert. The original lineup, I presume.
No, the Stephen Page is not with them anymore, but the guy that took his place looks just like him. So he plays the similar instruments, so they sounded the same, but he's the only guy that's not part of the band anymore. But you're right. I mean, they're phenomenal, and I just think they're very talented guys. I mean, it's all of them.
The songwriting, the arrangements, everything about the Bare Naked Ladies. And, you know, there was a time in the recording industry when Canada was kind of frowned upon as a place in which to do your studio recordings, and those days are long gone. Bare Naked Ladies, so well produced, such amazing sound quality, and really one of Canada's great contributions to the world of rock and roll. And if some of you are Rush fans, I never got into Rush, don't hate me. Not talking about Limbaugh, talking about Rush, the band Rush. Hold on, my friend, if you've got something else you'd like to add, because we'll get back to you after the news at 5 o'clock. So if you're just joining us, you were not fans of a group or a performer. You basically went to please somebody else, to make somebody else happy, and you leave the show thinking, wow, that was really mind-blowing, because I can't be the only one. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And as I said, Mrs. Bowerly does mock me when I say can't instead of can't. On News Radio 930 WBEN.